Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Pete Donaldson's here.
Hello, you.
Oh, it's a full house. It is the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my goodness. Come into our house and make yourselves very welcome.
Take your shoes off.
But don't sit on that chair.
That's Daddy's chair.
Things
that's
have happened on that chair.
That's Daddy's lazy boy.
He'll know by the crease of your bottom that you've been there.
Yes, indeed.
Do your dads have special chairs?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, my parents have got fairly new sofas, and Dad's already sort of like bore a crevice into it. Yeah. It's amazing. They've only had it for about a month.
So dad's prerogative. My dad's
very much so.
He loves a groove, your dad.
My dad's is the far right seat of the sofa. He's not got his own armchair.
He hasn't got his own armchair.
No.
Wow.
No, he's not bothered about
that. He's a modern man then, in many ways.
Very liberal.
Reconstructed.
A lot of older people will have a favourite chair that just doesn't match the rest of the room. I love that. It's like they've seen it one day and gone, you know what? I could happily die in that chair.
and I probably will.
Yeah. I've earned this chair. Yeah. What about this? Let's go all the way to Australia, more specifically. A man called Mark Murray has patented the ham dog.
What an Australian name.
Mark Murray.
Mark Murray, mate.
Murray.
I've gone to the patent office. I've got my form, mate.
Your past at the patent office is rather more checkered.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
At least one of us will be welcome in Australia if we go anytime soon.
Samantha ripped me off, didn't they?
May I remind everyone who may even introduce people who haven't heard it about Pete's infant chip bowl helmet.
Yeah, a helmet to put on a child while you're watching the telly. You can put a bit of dip in there and, get a Dorito in there and a snack.
Patent rejected.
Well, not really rejected.
Not received.
I just didn't supply the required documents.
Okay.
But I did the important thing of getting a form back. And it's on the internet. We've done it before, not that long ago.
Check it out.
But it was featured in an advert, I think, recently for Doritos or something.
Oh, someone's making millions.
Say again?
They ripped you off, you mean?
I think so. But I think somebody listens to the ramble.
I'd love it in like 5 years' time if every child born was given a free one of those.
Yeah.
And the guy who made it was absolutely minted.
Yeah.
You'd have to look at it every day.
Is it like this, the Swiss, where they get a cardboard box with like everything they need?
That's right, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
and,
cool.
And when you buy a house, Nationwide give you a box with a load of essentials in it. They give you a couple of teacups, a couple of teaspoons, some tea bags. Worth
spending £400,000 on a house then,
isn't
it? In London.
Welcome to your new home. You probably haven't got any stuff in it at the moment. Have a cup of tea. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with it. Mm. Although, also, the teaspoons were very cheap.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're not going to spend money on it, are they?
They're trying to be your mate. Like, the smoothies.
Anyway.
Well, back to Murrow. Okay.
Murrow?
Yeah. The ham.
Don't pause. Just go straight through.
Yeah, this will happen. Yeah. You know this.
I don't know. I'm stitching you up right now. The ham dog is a combo of a hot dog and a burger, of course. It's exactly what it sounds like, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Murray was very excited by it all, saying people had come from far and wide to get one when they set up shop. Apparently, at one stage, the staff, according to him, were knocking one out every 15 seconds. They sound very excitable, don't they?
Pete knows what that feels like.
Why pick on me? We've all done it.
Easy target. Well, if you could create a burger or any kind of food product, really, in honour or as a homage to someone or something from the world of football, what would you come up with? Jim first.
I would have the Azard burger, right?
It would be in
homage to him, in a way. It would be a really, really high-quality burger. The meat would be brilliant. All of the ingredients would be sort of locally sourced, very fresh, very organic.
Mm-hmm.
But in tribute to his inexplicably terrible season last year, everyone in, say, 50 would have, like, a pickled monkey eyeball in it.
I thought you were going to say anybody who is Jose Mourinho or looks like Jose Mourinho will be sold a dud.
I would like to add that caveat.
I thought you were going to go down the E. coli route.
Well,
one every 50.
Should have salmonella.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that a pickled monkey eyeball is that good for you.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. But at least you pickled it.
Indeed, it's probably okay then. Yeah.
Again, return to Pete for that one.
I've got my house.
Yeah, pickles.
I went to a video game developers company thing. They were having a little party, and it was in a old pickle shop. Pickle restaurant, rather. People just go in and eat pickles.
Oh, yeah.
And that lasted 6 months, apparently.
Not the whole restaurant. Obvious. The whole restaurant wasn't in vinegar.
No, that would be crazy. Yeah,
Whereas what you're saying is entirely reasonable.
Yeah. Hmm. Pickle house.
Luke Moore.
Am I the only one that's sort of quite surprised this has only just been invented, by the way, the ham dog? People would have put two very obvious popular food stuff together before now. But anyway, I think I will probably go for a Zlatan burger. It'd be really beefy, and then when you get it served up on the table, someone comes along, karate chops it in half for you.
Oh, that's quite nice.
He's got the old black belt. Or you could go for...
You'd want to wash your hands. They need to wash their hands before they do that.
They would. Yeah. Well, you'd hope being waiting staff, they'd have clean hands anyway. I mean, I don't know where you eat, but hopefully... I don't want to know where you eat. Mostly strip clubs.
The pickle house.
Yeah.
the Zlatan burger, the one served in England, would have four burgers in to remind you of the four goals he got against England.
Yeah. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. But you could also have the sort of Sepp Blatter burger.
Oh.
Of edible gold for cheese.
It costs
a couple of £50 notes in it.
Costs a grand.
Yeah.
It's always
maybe you're filing it the way things are going.
Only yeah. sold in Qatar.
There's always those news stories where it's like, oh, this is the most expensive burger ever made, and it's sold in Harrods, and it's like Wagyu beef and like not shards of gold. That would be horrible,
like edible, like gold, leaf and stuff
like
that.
Edible
that,
gold.
What's the point
what are we
of
coming
that?
To?
Yeah, right. We've solved poverty. We can now eat gold.
Beat it.
Let them eat gold. I would have, I mean, I don't want to poo-poo your usual ramble tropes that you've come up with, doubt Marcus will bring one up, but the Steve Grizovich horror nose cake. Just a big nose.
Okay.
In the shape of a cake in the shape of a big nose.
A nose in the shape of a cake.
What's it made of?
What?
What's it made
it's
of?
It's gatto.
Just gristle.
Really, really rich gatto. But then you cut into it and there's a little bit of dog food in there.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I don't even know how that relates to Steve Grismidge's nose. Where's the dog food come from?
Because it's not nice to look at, so he's not nice to eat, is
he? Well, who would buy this?
Who would buy the Set Blatter burger?
Well, at least it's a recognised foodstuff.
Cake is a recognised food.
Yeah, but you can't just put a little dog food
down. He's got a monkey eyeball in it.
That's fair, I've got a monkey eyeball in mine, but only one in 50.
Pickled.
So that the name works.
Pickled as well.
Jeez.
But Pete, all I'm saying is, you just it's a cake. You can't just put a load of horrible stuff together with dog food and go, it's a cake.
It's a horrible cake. Because he's not nice to look at. And we've had a long weekend.
Spells is gone again.
Yeah.
Keegan Burger, you drop it on the floor.
There he goes.
It's
wow. Easy, isn't it?
It's like you took off.
We all know what
buttons to push.
At least I brought someone new to the table. Keegan. Blatter.
The
Svend Burger, there's a knob in it. Oh. Pathetic.
Launch me.
Yeah. Grizovic has got potential. I wouldn't mind you looking into him a bit further.
Why would there be a Sven? Surely a Sven burger would be very saucy.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
I like that.
Hey, are you see?
Very saucy. It doesn't have to be a burger, though, does it?
If you think about it. No, it doesn't have
you
to be a burger.
You all came up with burgers.
We're not having a go at the cake. We're having a go at the dog food.
You very much have well, a go at the
I was having a go at the cake.
All right.
What's your one?
I would have... you could have the choice of two, a Craig Brown burger or a Joey Barton burger.
Yeah.
And if you have the Joey Barton burger, it's going to disagree with you. But the Craigie Brown burger, very agreeable. You'd have a lovely time, and you'd have to have everything in it.
Yeah. You'd have to have pickles, onions, bacon, cheese.
Dog food, monkey eyeballs.
A piece of Steve Grisovic's nose cake.
Yeah.
For those who don't remember Steve Grisovic, Coventry goalkeeper.
Just Google image him. You'll know, your nose will hit
you'll
you straight away.
You'll know what Pete means.
Yeah, you'll know what Pete means.
Exactly, yeah. Jim's got the points again.
Well done, Jim.
Great. Well done, Jim.
You can put those points towards the research project into how to successfully pickle monkey eyeballs.
I imagine you just stick them in vinegar, don't you?
You won't be using rare monkeys, though, presumably.
I don't feel I'm going to take this any further, to be honest.
Okay, give them the points.
Or an Arsene Wenger burger.
An arse cake. Is that what you're going to say?
An Arsene Wenger burger, cake. Which would be the fourth best burger on the menu.
Oh, dear.
No, it comes in a wrapper you can't undo.
Better.
There you go, you see.
It's work.
No.
I have to try and help Peter along with those ones sometimes. Premier League. Angry look from Donaldson. Arsenal 1, Spurs 1. Peter, your beloved Arsenal, they didn't beat Spurs. you have Arsenal tendencies.
I do have Arsenal tendencies, which has been written on many a toilet wall.
What, you mess things up?
Yeah. A lot of intention, but nothing ever happened.
Well, they're on for it, Jim, aren't they? Was it a good point or was it an all right point?
That's a decent point in a Jim, surely.
Well, it's not the worst point in the world, is it?
No.
But I guess both teams can probably look at the game thinking they should have taken their chances and
there were a lot of
bed.
Chances in that game.
There were. I mean, when Walcott hit the post, it was a fantastic shot, but Ozil should, you know, with the form he's in, you would...
Oh, it was a tricky one.
It was a tricky one, but you'd hope he could get that away. And I know, obviously, it's not as simple as that because it came at him at a weird angle very quickly.
I think you'd be harsh on Ozil.
Games like that are won on those margins, aren't
true.
They? You have to really take advantage of half chances and things like that. So
harsh.
Looking back on the game... and the way it went out, maybe Giroud could have probably done a bit better with that late header because that was right at the goalkeeper as well. But then Spurs had a couple of chances. They hit the post late on as well. So I think on the balance of the game, I think a point's fair. And it being a draw with some calamity in it, with the own goal and the penalty, is about as North London derby as it gets, really, isn't it?
I think, though, given the form that Spurs were in going into that game and the fact that it was at the Emirates, I think if any team's going to be more disappointed, it'll be Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think Spurs have won in 7 now, have they? Something like that. So they've been They've been a while. You're right, Pete.
Yeah, sorry.
A little sneeze?
Yeah, a little bit. Cardiff, five in a row.
Cardiff took it out of you last night.
Are you
night?
Allergic to my football chat?
But
it was an exciting game. Lots of chances, lots of drama, as we come to expect in these games, as you guys touched on last week, actually saying it'll probably be an exciting one. And it was.
Yeah.
That Walcott off the post, without a goal, that'd been an absolute beauty of a goal.
Well, apparently during this game, it became the highest scoring fixture in the Premier League history.
Right.
Which adds up, given how mental it normally is.
Yeah.
Even when it's not high scoring, though, it's very frantic, isn't it?
I find quite interesting is obviously Harry Kane was back for that game, scored a penalty, and he's got a good record in the North London Derby, as we know. I wonder whether Pochettino is keeping players back a bit in terms of not pretending they're injured, but essentially
resting them,
drawing out their injuries,
to
give them a rest because of the high intensity way that they play. When you say
drawing out their injuries, you do mean pretending they're injured rather than like having them on a rack.
You're
getting better too quickly. We're going to have to re-injure you a bit.
Like misery.
No, we're not treating you.
No way to run a football club.
Rub some cheese on it.
I was speaking to a couple of Spurs fans, and they were saying that Spurs have become a lot more opaque at how they report their injuries. They're not being as specific as they used to be. Mm. And if you look at, like, Kane was out for a while. Dele Alli looks like he might be out as well for, I mean, they just, I think...
They said he got
a knee knock in training or something on the Friday, but now they're saying 4 to 6 weeks. Alderweireld, they were quite vague about that. So I wonder whether Pochettino's trying to manage his players and the intensity they work at and try and protect them a bit. That's just a side point.
It would be understandable,
but if only Arsenal would have that kind of level of...
Well,
that wealth.
That would involve us not having actual injuries.
Actual injuries, really, exactly, all the time.
Jim, do you remember when Arsene Wenger sat on Walcott without warming up?
Yeah, that was shortly after. That was when he got injured for quite a long time, wasn't it? Yeah, a little while ago.
He was on to replace someone who had come on.
Yeah, and he hadn't warmed up.
And it happened
up.
Quickly, and Wenger just sent him on. He pulled a hamstring, didn't he?
That's right.
That happens.
If I remember rightly as well, I think he'd recently come back from an injury, and this triggered another one.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, that's negligible, really, isn't it?
But an all rally.
What do you think of the Dembele penalty decision? Correct for
yeah,
a penalty,
I think so.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, very much a penalty.
Koscielny
just got caught by Dembele's pace, I think.
Yeah, it was a good run.
When Dembele gets up to when he goes on those runs, to try and get the ball off him, he's so good at dribbling, but he's so strong.
I think he's probably the best. Well, definitely one of the best at protecting the ball in the league.
Yeah, I'm glad that Dembele is. Well, he's obviously playing well, and he has done for him.
He was man of the match in that game, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like he's just suddenly started playing well. Obviously, he was great last season and has been a bit for Spurs. But there was that time. Do you remember when Les Ferdinand, who was involved with Spurs at the time, said that they used to try and motivate him by saying, you know, if you play well, you'll be in the shop window. You might get a move to an even bigger club.
Mm. Yeah,
which is. You know, let's not be silly. You know that obviously happens in football, and to an extent, it's understandable as well. But Dembele had a bit of a time trying to motivate himself. Clearly, playing for Spurs, now he was a really good player for Fulham. But it's just nice to see him. You know, he went to Spurs, and that hasn't worked out for every player. Fulham to Spurs, you know, Dempsey didn't quite.
I've interviewed Dembele. He's a very, very laid back character. He's almost horizontal.
Right, and so going to a club like Spurs, you know, Sigurdsson, it didn't quite work for him. You know. Obviously, it can't work for everybody. And Dembele, I thought that would be a great shame because he's got such talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have been seeing for a little while now how good this guy is.
And he's getting to play in the Champions League with Spurs now. So.
Exactly, yeah. It's exciting times in North London.
But it's fairly cool that they played against you at this time because there were some big performances in the Premier League this weekend. Mm. And these two, you get the impression if they've been playing lower league teams, or sort of not lower, but teams who aren't as good in the Premier League as each other, they might have recorded quite big wins as well.
Yeah.
Because Spurs need a big win to get themselves out of the sort of malaise, the lack of goal scoring that's affecting them at the moment. And Arsenal are in pretty good nick. So the fact they're playing each other was quite a nice aside, given that there were a lot of shellackings dished out this
year.
That's
weekend.
Right. I think the crucial thing for both sides there was to not lose.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's not the end of the world as a result.
No, I think
both teams will be fine with it, I think.
Yeah,
what do you think about Kevin Vimmer? He looks tough to me.
He does,
He looks like the head of a henchman group as bad guys in a movie.
I tell you, he attacks the ball very well.
He did, yeah. He also looks a bit like the darts player Michael Van Gerwen. It's like Michael Van Gerwen with hair.
What was that stat you read out about the last player to score an own goal in...
Oh, the last player to score an own goal in the North London Derby in the Premier League, I believe, was Chris Armstrong.
Wow.
And I think that was in the year 2000.
Yeah. In the league.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
16 years ago, yeah. Mm. So it doesn't happen very often.
Not too many. We're going to talk more Premier League after this.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. This is the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. And this is the Football Ramble.
Hello, everybody. Let's talk about Chelsea.
Mm. They were bloody brilliant.
They were fantastic. I think that's probably the performance of the season from any team. They were
Lassard
so brilliant.
Put two.
Oh, they were, but also because Everton aren't that bad.
No.
Yeah.
Everton, what I really liked about Ronald Koeman is he was almost purring.
Well,
after the game. Because he's such a scholar of the game of football. It was like he was a pundit. He could objectively stand back from it and go, they were just fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that was incredible. Now,
not what you want to hear.
No. Everton favourite. Come on, mate.
I actually...
Do something about it then.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you because he wasn't gushing, obviously, but he was just like, we were totally outclassed and so on. But the way he was talking was like, we'll learn from that. And you could see he was almost like, I see what they did. And I think Koeman is the type of manager not to get all annoyed or to let his ego get in the way or whatever it may be. He would have looked at that and gone, right, we have been we've had our pants pulled down there. Mm. How can we improve? Now, obviously, all managers, or you'd hope certainly all top-level managers would do that. But with Koeman, I think Everton should be... They should go away and learn from that, and if they do, they'll be stronger for it, if you know what I mean.
It would be hilarious if it was like another 5-0 next week.
Oh, no, just 4-0. Told you.
you get an almost year zero type moment, don't you? It's like, this can't happen. It can't get this bad again.
Well, Everton, they started really well in the season.
Yeah.
And then they were drawing a few games, and there was a few sloppy results here and there, and then they've got hammered here. So Koeman, again, the type of manager he is, you'd imagine him saying, right, you see what happens? When you take your foot off the gas, we can play well, but you do it, and especially against a good side. I mean, my goodness, Chelsea was so good.
It was up there. I mean, obviously, Spurs beating City was at the time, I said, was the performance of the season. That was right up there, just probably because Everton are a fairly good side. I know they can be inconsistent and they can make mistakes. I mean, I thought Stekelenburg was fairly poor, and he made a mistake or two. Was it against Burnley as well? He made a mistake or two. So he's not in excellent form, but Chelsea were irresistibly
good. The dominance
good.
Of them, though, wasn't so it? Good, they were, yeah. Eden Hazard looked so fresh from his season off. Like it's absolutely that second goal in particular,
fantastic.
Like, just as good a goal as you're going to see anywhere. Like, it was just delicious.
Lukaku was completely anonymous, and the reason I say that is because, of course, Chelsea are a good team, but Lukaku on his day is near to unplayable, as you'll see, as a Premier League striker. Yeah. And he's playing against his old team at Stamford Bridge. You think he'd be really up for it? Now I know it's a lot easier said than done because Chelsea were so good. But you didn't see anything from him, and that was just a testament to how good they were.
He was probably rather isolated because the rest of his teammates were under attack.
But the way
it was easier said than done, but it was said in the Premier League preview show.
They'd be up for it.
I think so.
I've not heard that. Who's that by? I've not heard it.
No,
not bother.
It. No,
don't worry about that.
I was just going to say the way that they sort of rotated around and attacked the space and all the stuff that you see sort of modern teams doing, as is the fashion tactically now, was they just did it so, so well. And you could see how much Conte was loving it because clearly they'd worked on that sort of stuff in training. And like someone like Victor Moses, he just looks completely reborn. He's completely reborn.
Well, so many of those players are playing with a real freedom and just look happy and creative. Like Pedro is a great example. Diego Costa is absolutely on fire. Obviously Hazard we mentioned already, and Alonso has just slotted in so well. They look like a really sort of happy functioning unit. The 3-5-2 is obviously working, and generally, you know, Conte's made them quite likable to watch. You know,
well, it's more of a 3-4-3 actually because they play with wide men. I mean, that's where Pedro fits in, and Pedro, he's looking good. I sometimes I forget that he plays for Chelsea.
And quite a low key start to his Chelsea career, hasn't he?
Yeah but he is looking like Pedro. You can crying out loud. That's a player who played for Pep Guardiola's Barcelona. Mm. And Hazard, as you said, Jim, earlier, and Costa, they're playing like world beaters. It really is quite encouraging signs for Chelsea.
Once Hazard's in the mood, he's so powerful. There's so much junk in that trunk.
Absolutely. He's really stacked, isn't he?
Yeah, you're not stopping
him. It's a hell of a badonkadonk.
His core strength is high.
It is.
I reckon he probably squats about 6,000 kilos.
Well, how much do you squat, Pete?
Three times a day.
Whenever I can get a moment.
No, he's not that regular. Three times a week.
Oh, yeah. Only four times in the whole 2012, isn't it?
So I hear.
Yeah. Do you even squat, bro?
Not everyone's as reckless as you, Jim, with your bowels. Now then,
dear.
Sunderland got a win, mate.
Yeah, they did.
Every single one of us around this table is very happy about
that. Away from home.
Yeah.
Away from home as well.
With 10 men.
They've got a good away support, so it's something of an issue about it.
At least put the effort in.
Come on.
You're going to compliment them.
Toe the party line, Donaldson.
But David Moyes took them down a factory, didn't he?
Did he? To give them the old, what your life could be like?
Yeah, absolutely, though.
And removed all of the protective shielding on all of the equipment. Just moved them closer to it.
Took them down the factory, pressed their faces into a lathe.
After that, they were better.
Do you think that was a mutual thing between... the guy running the factory and David Moyes? Because normally, obviously, people would say, oh, we want to be a footballer or whatever. It brings in the Sunderland team and David Moyes is saying, look what your life could be and the factory workers are unhappy.
Look at this absolute mess.
You could be working for this shower of,
This is the last factory in the North East. Enjoy it. Drink it in. Because you could be unemployed too soon.
Yes.
Do you remember that TV show, Big Ron Manager, where they sent Ron Atkinson down to Peterborough United? I've talked about it quite a bit on the show before. And there's a guy called Steve Bleasdale who was managing them. He was completely hopeless. Mm. And he took them to a factory in one of the episodes. And they just weren't interested. Half of them just stayed in the foyer, sat around. But I'm here, you told me what, come here, I'm here. I'm not going in there, though. And half of them just weren't listening. It was one of the most pathetic things I've ever seen. So hopefully Sutherland's visit was a bit more successful than that. Right. Well, it obviously was, because they won the game.
Oh, dear. But Ron Atkinson.
And Ichibi was good in that game.
Imperious. He's a funny one in Ichibi, isn't he? He'll do that sort of very infrequently. But there are days where he'll just seem unplayable, though.
Yeah.
I saw Michael Cox say that he's one of the best backer-inners in world football. I think he's a very good backer-inner.
I like that.
Because you're either going to hold the ball up or you're going to draw a foul. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, that first,
old school.
Yeah, that first goal was almost like he pushed it in.
Yeah.
You know, it was like he was it was as close to kind of a scrum in rugby as you're going to get on the football pitch. Mm. It was a lovely finish.
How annoyed would you be as a Bournemouth fan getting beat on your own patch by that mob?
By 10 men of
Sunderland.
10 of them. Oh, no, yeah, quite. I forgot that.
10 pit yakkers. Is that right, Pete?
No, they're not technically that pit yakkers, but...
You'd like to distance yourself from that earlier comment?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, well, I'm only quoting you.
Yeah, I know.
To be fair.
He's giving him...
We can all change.
Yeah. I forget that people have memories. That's the problem, isn't it?
Because I'm the same, because I don't have one. Yeah. So I'm the same.
But it was great for those Sunderland fans, because that is a long trip.
Yeah.
And if they'd have been beaten 4-0, you'd have had to have felt sorry for them. Mm. So they.
I also once said that the Sunderland fans have a terrible away support. They've got one of the best away supports. So there you go.
Yeah. They're mugging you off.
Mugging me off left, right, and centre, guys.
Indeed. David
Moyes, still going down.
David Moyes said before...
Absolutely.
David Moyes said before the game, the club don't want to change managers again, and rightly so.
Bullish.
He loves it.
I don't want to move house again, and rightly so.
A couple of weeks ago, he was saying, well, sacking the manager's not going to change anything at this club. It's not going to change anything. Yeah.
You are
the manager.
Are you going to change club? No. And that's a great decision. These guys know exactly how to run a football club. He loves it, doesn't he?
He's probably right, but he does have a hand in that, doesn't he? He needs to do something.
He needs to play his part.
What about Liverpool this weekend?
Oh, irresistible.
That is the word to use.
Top of the league.
They thought they were going to score every time they went forward.
They really did. They were absolutely superb.
And they conceded their standard goal as well. They find it impossible to keep a clean sheet, but they scored for fun.
Yeah. They did. Well, I mean, it was quite a while the until they or? Scored, wasn't it? Because they had a lot of chances before they went 1-0 up. And they're just relentless. Yeah, and the energy they've got is so impressive.
Watford had Yama as like a kind of central defender. And he is a terrible defender.
Lucas played the central defence of Liverpool.
Did he? They also play... One of the reasons that Liverpool's movement was so good for me was because Watford played five in midfield as well. And just tried to completely shut them down. And just couldn't get anywhere near them.
Just the pace they have in the team just negates all that.
And also, they had so much of the play and they looked so threatening. Because I think it took them to about the 25th minute to score. But before that, they were flying, absolutely flying. As soon as the first goal went in, it was on. That was it.
It's great to see Sadio Mane just sort of... like, it looks like he's peaked. Do you know what I mean? We said before he moved to Liverpool, the thing with him is he can be great, but he's perhaps inconsistent. But he's just been brilliant for them. It's been a revelation.
I think he's a bit underrated. I think. I know
his transfer fee would suggest not.
I know he costs a lot of money. I know that... That people clearly know who he is and know that he's a good player. I don't mean it in that way. I just mean that he's a lot more versatile. He's a lot more to his game, and has a lot more in his locker than people sometimes think. Mm. He scores lots of different types of goals. I don't think enough's made of that. Just to clarify that.
Sure. Well, they're gonna lose him for a little while because the African Cup of Nations is not too far away.
But they've got so much cover up front. I mean, they're probably going to lose a defensive player or two.
That's one of their great strengths, isn't it? That front line or midfield and sort of front line. That's the beauty. It all sort of merges into one. They're a unit. Mm. But why? Klopp's got them going as a unit, and that for the rest of the Premier League is terrifying. Mm.
Well, it's a good blueprint for how not to play against a high pressing team, though, isn't it? Play three at the back, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah,
I think, and you're pretty much.
Well, Liverpool are going to find it interesting if this pans out like this, because people will then think, right, we're playing Liverpool, park the bus, like what's happening to Manchester City.
Although, I mean, you got to look at the way Liverpool go forward and think, I've said this about Arsenal before, I need to then see them draw 0-0 at home with Middlesbrough, that, that they'll have enough for that, though.
Yeah, I think they will. And I also think one of the things with the Klopp team If it's going well and you're banging the goals, I find it's such good fun to play. Yeah, for. Yeah, I bet they're having a lovely time all brilliant. Week in training.
Just seeing that big old Kloppy smile.
He's having a lovely.
Off.
Yeah, you'd want to make him happy, wouldn't you? I've caught up to make him happy.
Absolutely, yeah. But getting a laugh off Jurgen Klopp is worth getting a laugh off 10 other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Klopp, the way they're playing, often when there is a team who perhaps wouldn't be people's top two or three choices for the title, and they emerge as title
contenders
is the word I'm looking for. Yeah, they become the favourite. You know, with Rodgers' Liverpool, I think a lot of neutrals wanted them to win it.
Yeah.
Last season, a lot of neutrals wanted their Spurs to win it, but they didn't. No, obviously it was all about Leicester. And I think that Liverpool could find a lot of support from neutrals again.
Agreed.
If they are right up there.
Especially because of the type of football they play as well.
Yeah. And Mr. Clippity Klopp.
Yes.
In charge. Manchester United, if they mount a title bid, probably won't.
Can I
get the neutrals behind them?
I'd like to reassess my opinion of Swansea by saying they're even worse than I thought, yeah. As far as they even made Wayne Rooney look really good.
Wayne Rooney.
They were so poor in that first half.
Really poor.
I mean, on this, they're going down. Oh, they've got to change absolutely everything, because they were just anonymous in the first half. They just let United just walk all over them. There was a point where Fellaini got a header off in the first half. He had seven players around him. None of them even got near him. Like, what are you doing in those positions if you're just standing there allowing him to get a header in?
Around him, but not close to him.
Yeah. Well, they all backing each other up, like one on a piggyback. Or one. It's like they're having a party. Deary me.
And Ibra got back among the goals.
Indeed.
A couple of Zlatan as well.
And what Pogba's goal.
Yeah, beauty.
Beautiful.
Technique. A snip.
Is it? Was that what you call that?
He's a snip.
Oh, right. He's doing that. I see what you mean. But you're right. Rooney looked a bit better. Carrick. Michael Carrick. Now, a lot of pundits, Paul Scholes included, have been calling for Carrick to be put in that starting lineup because Manchester United, like many have said, don't really. I mean, Herrera can do it, I suppose, but the type of midfielder that is just really, really happy to just sit.
Mm.
And that frees up the likes of Pogba. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a midfielder in there, say, a Herrera or a Fellaini has often in his career been played just behind a front man.
Yeah.
His natural tendencies are to go forward and you have to curb them. And if you're playing next to someone who can show a bit of discipline in that role, but ultimately you know what he's like, you can be a bit cagey within yourself and you can restrict yourself as well, and you can be a bit worried. Whereas when you have someone like Carrick, you know exactly what he's going to do. And Pogba was clearly freed up more.
I completely agree with you, and I think to expand on that, the natural, because Carrick is obviously getting older now, I think he's 36, the natural replacement for him is Danny Drinkwater. He came through the club.
That would be something,
he's
wouldn't
perfect
it?
At that. He's perfect at that type of stuff. He was perfect at it last season. He knew what N'Golo Kanté was going to do, i.e. just cover every blade of grass on the pitch. He was going to maintain a lot of positional discipline. He did it in his England debut against the Netherlands. He was by far the most completed passers on the pitch. He will be the player who they should go after to replace him when the time inevitably comes. But I completely agree.
And he can set goals up like he did for West Brom.
That will always happen.
He can play a lovely through ball.
But there are no other players in that squad that have positional discipline as good as that.
I'd agree.
I was just looking at the old Sky Sports app the other day and saw Morgan Schneiderlin linked with a move to, I think, Palace. I was like, Schneiderlin.
He's still there, yeah.
Just disappeared down the Mourinho vortex.
Hey, he may be another one, surely. The Mourinho vortex.
Well, Mourinho disappeared down his own vortex for that game. He's at stand. I love what when managers get banned. Yeah.
Especially Mourinho.
Stand. Yeah.
He is fuming inside. Yeah. How dare they do this to me again?
Yeah.
He'll be up to £400,000 soon.
In fines.
And it's fines. Which is insane.
It's obscene.
Yeah. It really is. It was a good win for Manchester United, no less. And it was good to see Ibrahimovic among the goals.
Cause
I don't want him
good goals too.
Yeah, I don't want him to kind of really obviously wind down his career in England. That would be a shame.
No, a lot of people, I mean, we said at the start of the season, a lot of people are saying that he's really taken to it like a duck to water, and he thinks he's definitely they're going to exercise his second year option and stuff like that because he's just been so good around the club. Maybe Laurent Blanc was back in the day for the young players stuff. Yeah.
Manchester City, though, they dropped points, whereas Manchester United obviously didn't. But Man City,
I didn't see this game.
These are the games. Rooney was playing well for Manchester United, and De Roon was playing well for Middlesbrough.
So what was the equaliser like? I haven't actually seen it.
It was a beautiful ball.
It was a fairly regulation header, wasn't it? But I thought the
reaction was magnificent.
It was great, but the way they were speaking about De Roon afterwards was like he was like some part timer that worked in Greggs who turned out for Middlesbrough. It's like he's a Premier League footballer. Yeah. He's earned his right to be on that pitch. It's a bit strange.
He ghosted in at the back post and out jumped cliche, was it?
I think pundits and commentators can fall into that trap. The way they used to fall into the trap on like FA Cup first round or third round day or whatever, you know, they're just patronising VTs all over the game.
He was a milkman.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's a loser. He's no one. He's a little slug. And look at what he's done by accident.
But today, for 5 minutes, he's all right.
He's a valid human.
Yeah.
It's Eddie Newton.
Yeah,
it's like
quite,
that, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
He's on the pitch. He could score.
Yeah. Theoretically. Well, Negredo very nearly scored from the halfway line. That would have been great.
Blimey, yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I haven't seen it. As I said, I didn't see the game. But presumably Negredo did that because it saved him running all the way up there over the pitch.
Yeah, right.
I'll just shoot from here.
Yeah, I'll get as close as I will.
That is a man winding down his career.
Yeah,
right. It was very, very good, though. It very nearly went in. Aguero scored his 150th goal for Manchester City.
Yeah, in something like 220 games or something, which is very,
impressive.
Very good.
Messi scored his 500th goal for Barcelona on the weekend.
It's a sharp surge, yeah.
But that does include friendlies. But I think he scored 469 in official games, Messi.
They always get it. Barcelona have got a history for doing this. Remember,
don't really need to beef up Lionel Messi's goalscoring
stats,
right,
no.
He'll get to 500 by the end of the week.
Do you want to play him in friendly? Really?
The guy who had the unofficial record as Barcelona goal scorer.
Paulinho Alcantara.
And that's right. A lot of those were in like exhibition games.
Yeah.
It was a
Singapore. Mario,
yeah, but
back then though, that might have been in the 20s or something.
It's not as bad then, but
I can't remember the dates, but yeah.
They shouldn't be as whoever it was you said, they just shouldn't be counting Messi's goals like
that. His name's Jim.
Jim, they should. I agree with you, Jim. I agree with Jim Campbell,
thanks,
mate.
Yeah.
I agree with Nick Clegg. Remember that in 2010? Yeah. I agree with Nick Clegg.
Karanka said that the point away to Arsenal was tougher and more pleasing than the point away to City. That's a dig!
Picking up Arsenal.
It's a dig, Jim. Yeah. It's a dig at Man City.
As well, there's a bit of history with Karanka and Mourinho, isn't there? So he's getting one in.
Why Mourinho?
Because Karanka was his assistant, wasn't he?
Yeah, but what's that got to do with Man City?
Yeah.
Pep. He's having a dig for Team Mourinho.
I thought you said he had beef with Mourinho.
No.
He's part of Team Mourinho.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right, Jim. I agree with Jim Campbell.
I agree with Nick Clegg.
Jim Campbell's being very agreeable this week.
Yeah,
he's just a good guy.
I'm like the Joey Barton burger. And to finish off our Premier League chat, Burnley 3, Crystal Palace 2.
Crystal Palace played their part.
Unlucky Palace.
They really did play their part. They put them back to 2-2.
They did. Even when it was 3-2, Barnes got that lovely goal, which was a beautiful setup. He played actually a slightly overhit ball, didn't he?
Yeah.
Out wide, and then it was whipped in. It was a great finish. But even then, Townsend whacked the post.
A minute after,
it was a great game. A wonderful advert of the Premier League.
A game full of incidents.
Palace had 62% possession.
I'll tell you something now. I said it before. I'll say it again. I'll double down on it. Burnley are not getting relegated this season.
There it is.
They're too good at home.
Yeah, I would love to see that. At the moment, even though Hull won yesterday, you would think Sunderland, Swansea and Hull would be the ones in trouble. But it's early to say.
Hmm. Just have a little drink.
Finish
there,
your drink.
Finish your drink.
Do not let the fact.
Me.
Very casual today.
Yeah, do not let the fact that we're in the middle
put
of the show.
Put your trousers on.
You should always stay hydrated. I've always said that.
Thanks. Luke Moore's always said that, kids.
If Pete stays a little bit more hydrated, he wouldn't have the health problems he's got.
Yeah, I'm just. I'm not very well.
There you go, see?
All right, let's go to the Championship then.
Okay.
Newcastle, 7 straight wins, Peter.
That makes you feel better.
Come on. Shannon, isn't it? That's better than any Sudafed I could eat.
Turbo Barocca.
Yeah.
How many Sudafeds have you got down you?
I've got a Lemsip and 2 Sudafed, so...
I'd like to keep a tally.
That's too much, really. If there are any doctors listening, it's too much, isn't it?
Is Rafa Benitez feeding opposition players Sudafed by the truckload?
To be fair, Cardiff looked pretty good second half, and I think you could... But I think the difference between Newcastle at the start of the season and now... a lot more resilient. Mm. They're able to see off games a little bit more. So, done, Newcastle.
Is Rafa the new messiah?
He could be. I think he is... There's a real love affair going on
up there, isn't it? That's a genuine question because it's been a while since you guys have loved the manager that much.
But it does sort of tell Mike Ashley, just put a manager in that people like and it's good.
But not only that, let him actually do stuff.
Let him actually manage.
Because I think, obviously, this is not a dig at Newcastle. They're doing well. They're a big club, no question about
that. Have a dig if you want.
But they haven't won a trophy for a long time. Hmm. So they're lucky to have Benitez. And I think they know that. And I think that's the basis of the good feeling
around the club. Look at the way they're approaching the League Cup, for example. They've got pretty far at the League Cup. I think we've got Hull at home, I think, in the next round, which winnable.
Yeah.
But they're taking to him, obviously, because, you know,
he's doing well this season. They're probably going to win the championship this season, but they're also taking to him because, one, he stuck around when they got relegated,
yep.
which is a really big gesture, and two, he's actually a very, very underrated manager. But he's brilliant, and he's too good for the championship, as are Newcastle. So it's a nice combination.
But he's won the Champions League and
exactly,
the Liga.
Exactly.
But I think he looks at a club there that he could build something there, and he is going about it the right way. You know, I said before, like a couple of lads I know from Newcastle who do blogs and podcasts and stuff, he brought them in and spent hours and hours with them and basically explained what they were doing differently this time round and how the club was changing and stuff. And he puts the hours in. He's clearly very
Arsene
dedicated
Wenger's
to the club.
Never done that for me.
No, he hasn't.
Good point, yeah. When are we getting our invite, guys?
Well, you've never asked him, to be fair to you. But with Benitez, really the fans have bailed Ashley out in the sense, because at the end of the season, when they were, you know, holding up banners saying please stay Rafa and all that kind of stuff,
you would
imagine that they twisted his arm. And Rafa Benitez, maybe he is the new Messiah, because he's a little bit unlucky, isn't he? Because wherever he goes, he gets a load of stick.
Yeah, I think he's a bloody good bloke.
He gets a load of stick from fans, especially he got a load of stick from the Chelsea fans. That was unfortunate. Yeah. And he won them the Europa League, for crying out loud. Yeah. And Real Madrid's people got on his back there and so on. Actually, if you've been around, it doesn't matter how big the clubs are, if people just keep talking crap about you, it must get you down a bit.
Yeah.
And he's settled in England. He goes to a club and they're all saying, please come, we bloody love you.
Yeah.
And you can manage in front of 50,000 who are going to be a great bunch of supporters. We'll probably go up if you're in charge. I think it's great.
I support Newcastle now.
I think I read somewhere that Newcastle has the best average attendance. They're in their top 20 average attendances in all three major leagues in Europe.
I read
50,000 every week.
Yeah,
I read something the other day that said Newcastle is the best place. It's just the best.
They've got a very
when you were locked in. We're not doing any live shows in Newcastle. You don't have to say all that.
I hate Newcastle.
we may do in the future.
They have got a very deep squad.
I like them.
That does help. And that's not something that Newcastle have had for a while.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Aston Villa.
No.
Talking of Messiah, Steve Bruce. Another decent result. They beat Blackburn 2-1. Villa unbeaten in 5 under Brucey. Villa drew all 5 of their league games in September, but Brucey has picked up 11 points in his 5 matches
in charge.
And he's
bringing Gabby back into the fold.
They are going places. They are the only side in that league unbeaten at home.
Talk to me about Gabby Agbonlahor being back in the mix.
A substitute appearance.
Age 30.
Mm-hmm.
Can he only be 30?
Grealish had a better performance. I think Brucey could get them going. I think a Brucey and Benitez promotion push.
That'd be nice.
Benitez is in pole position quite clearly.
Nice combo.
But yeah, it is great for Villa because, my goodness, their fans have been through the ringer.
They really have.
They got a visit from me a few weeks ago.
Fulham, they beat Brentford in a West London derby. I say a West London derby. There's Chelsea and QPR might not be having that as the West London derby.
Brentford are up and down, though, aren't they?
They are.
They look good. They look really good when they're good, and they look really bad when they're bad.
Well, when they had Warburton, obviously, they came very close.
They did come
very close indeed.
That must just knock your confidence so much. A club of the size of Brentford, with all due respect to them, to get that close to it and then miss out, you know that the chance might not come around again for a while.
That's going to be
psychologically tough to take.
That's why you worry for Brighton. If they blow it again, that's terrible for them.
Well, Derby as well. Those two in particular. This has happened to them so many times. Brighton look great, though.
Derbs have got McClazza. Don't you worry about that. QPR, they've sacked Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Yeah, he was never
It's a shame, isn't it? Because he was brilliant with Burton Albion. I mean, it was sensational.
Amazing,
absolutely sensational what he did there. And, of course, a bigger club come along and pinch him. And you can understand...
QPR are a bit of a basket case, though, aren't they?
Well, true, yeah. But you can understand from Hasselbank's point of view that he's doing so well and then on-off he goes to a bigger side.
But when it happened, we were all a bit like, oh, come on.
It was
on.
A bit of a shame. But obviously it's his career. And, again, understandable.
Now it's mine. It's the people's career.
It's the Beatles' career.
Unless he gets caught on video again. Yeah. then it's nobody's career.
Well, yeah, the less said about that, the better, perhaps. But now you think to Hasselbank, can he pick it up again? And that's one thing Eddie Howe was lucky that he got another bite at the cherries.
Yeah.
Because he went off to Burnley and came back and is obviously doing great things there.
He'll be all right. If he drops down a leg, he can take a job there, can't he?
Of course he can.
I'd let him have the...
Phil Brown.
I'd let him have the...
Never seen him again, have we?
No.
I'd give him the Portsmouth job.
Give him the England job.
I would.
Give them all the jobs.
Yeah.
Brighton beat Bristol City 2-0 away. Steve Sidwell.
That's how you do it, Alvaro Negredo.
Yeah.
Well, it helps when the keeper falls over. But it was still a great strike.
But that happens quite a lot of those type of goals. That was his wrong foot as well.
Yeah. So it was about 50 yards out, wasn't it, scored from, if anyone missed that.
But when that happens, the keeper... for some reason...
I don't know why the keepers lose it.
They invariably just start to run backwards faster than they can and fall over.
It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? No, this can't happen to me. I can't be one of those keepers. Oh, I'm on the floor.
It's almost worth turning around, running in the direction of God, then turning around.
Was it Adria who did that against Wayne Rooney? Against Man United? And he just twisted himself up and fell on the floor.
They need referee classes.
Xabi Alonso against Newcastle. Was it the great Steve Harper?
Yeah, it was, yeah. He slipped and then flapped. He tried to sort of get up. It was like a salmon
It is quite strange because I suppose it hardly ever happens for a keeper. The ball up in the air like that.
It's like a football chip.
And nobody's coming up for a header, nobody's attacking it, and you're sort of going, oh, this could go very wrong.
I think the Brighton game's at night, but like, you know, variables like the sun being in your eyes are suddenly a massive, massive problem. that's why Higuita. The Rene Higuita, the Clement keeper, did the old scorpion kick. He thought, oh, you think you're going to knock the ball over me? I'll do this.
He was caught up in the chemically enhanced
other ideas.
He was like,
that seemed normal at the time.
Do you know who took the shot?
Jamie Redknapp, wasn't
it? Yes, it was. Jamie Redknapp.
It was a terrible shot.
People forget about that.
Oh, yeah, Higuita was only ever going to do that to a terrible shot.
I don't think it would have gone in. Bounced over the crossbar.
No, it was going to go in.
We've said this before, but I think it's worth repeating again. I think it should be a rule that if you score with a scorpion kick, you've basically completed football.
And that's it.
Your team just win the league that season.
Robert did kind of one. But they called it a dolphin flick. I don't know where that comes from.
No, the scorpion kick, I think it's got to be both feet. Yeah. It's not going to be happening.
Zlatan's probably done it, hasn't he?
Take that, Robert, fact. Put it back in your pocket.
Put it back in your grey underpants.
It's not done yet.
Walk off.
While we're mentioning Bristol City there, Bristol City fans will appreciate this. This is our dear man of this Ramble Parish, Joel Grove. A friend of his went off. I think he got a bit of work experience or a job at the BBC locally in Bristol, and they were covering a game at Bristol Rovers. And so it's a big chance for the young lad. You know, what a great opportunity!
Great introduction to the world of broadcasting. Exactly. BBC Bristol, fine local station.
Yeah. Indeed. And so off he goes down to Bristol Rovers. Now his dad's a big Bristol City fan, evidently, as you'll find out. Bristol Rovers, of course, nicknamed the Gas because I think was it a gas station that they used to be
something like that.
Something, but they're called the Gas. And he drops off his son, you know, who goes off, of course, to get involved in this incredible opportunity, and hopefully it's the start of many great things to come in the media industry. And as his dad's about to drive off, wise down the window and shouts, "Fuck the Gas!"
to his own son.
Yeah. Wheel spins out the car park.
Amazing. Great dad work, that.
Yeah. Some of the finest dad work you'll find, anyway.
Spin had so much.
Yeah, I like to think you did a little donut and then just pirouetted out.
Sunglasses down, deal with it.
Yeah. Tokyo drift.
Imagine his son walking in going, oh, Larry Uber driver. he doesn't just represent...
He's getting 2 stars.
I don't know who that is. It's definitely not my dad. Can I have a visitor pass, please?
Oh, dearie me. Right, we're going to talk a little FA Cup after this.
Heads up, it's the Ramblers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, everybody. It's the Football Ramble still. Don't forget the preview show, sponsored by Bet365, out on Friday.
We're going to be previewing the games.
Oh,
we're going to be saying things like, oh, this is going to happen.
Oh, then, this won't happen, though.
Yeah.
England v Scotland.
Did I say
huge?
Did I not say on the last week's preview show that I thought West Brom might get something out of Leicester?
Or
did
no, they dream I think it was...
I think you maybe did say that.
Yeah,
oh, did
you? And they won.
There,
so,
you are.
There you go. It's not all bad.
No, not all bad.
And even if I didn't say it on air, I definitely did say it. Because Jim remembers, and so he wouldn't lie.
I said
it.
That England were going to win the World Cup in 66, so...
Did you?
All the results that happened, I said were going to happen.
Did you?
I must have continued when you turned the mics off.
Stop this.
I do that sometimes. Let's go to League One. Rochdale striker Calvin Andrew has been given a 12-match ban for very violent conduct.
What did he do?
Oh, my goodness. It was horrendous. It was an elbow off the ball right in a defender's face. Like, it is horrible.
You don't see that anymore, though.
It's almost a bit.
Just watch UFC if you like that sort of thing.
Elbow off the ball, smashing a bloke in the face. Yeah, you just...
Mate, I live in Soho. I just lift up my window. Hello. What's
lift
out
up
here?
Your window.
Lift up my window.
Just open it, elbow passes by.
Just open it.
My windows are so filthy, Luke.
You have to lift them up.
I have to lift
we
them
won't
up
ask
now.
Why they're filthy.
Well, we know that because we've tried to lift up your windows to get out of your flat when you locked us in.
Is that a northern sound? Like, you sit around with your mates and think, oh, it's a bit hot on there. Lift up a window. Yeah.
Lift up a window.
Come in, just move the door.
Put the big light on.
Only Eric Cantona has served a bigger ban in English football. That's how monumental this is. According to the FA...
What an achievement.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. He was involved in an act of violent conduct. I like this. In or around the 77th minute.
OK.
How long did Ferguson get? Didn't Ferguson get put away for doing something on
Duncan?
Yeah.
Duncan Ferguson. That was in Scottish.
That was in Scottish.
Yeah. No, but in English football.
Oh, sorry, right, OK.
Yeah. There's a difference, mate.
Yes. Yeah. Right. You know, it's just English football. So, Scotland isn't in England.
Where do thistle whistles come from, then?
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, nice one.
That is... Oh, dear, 12 matches. Mm. Shocking behaviour.
I haven't seen it. Don't want to see it.
No, it's horrible.
Well, you say it's horrible, but you've given me a link to look at it. I just didn't look at it.
All right.
Well...
Oh, there's a man getting his head chainsawed off. You're disgusting.
Yeah. Look at this bloke jumping off a bridge. Pathetic.
Dark web speller.
Oh, internet abuser.
It's where I met Pete and brought him into the Ramble bosom.
Probably true.
Yeah, probably true. FA Cup first round.
It's happening.
You promised it. Braintree 7.
The way you said that was like it was going to be a jingle, but it didn't happen. FA Cup first round. Nothing.
Eastbourne Borough 0, the National League side are in the second round.
I think I've been to see Eastbourne Borough.
Have you?
I think there are two teams. They always used to be Eastbourne Borough and Eastbourne United, I think. And I've definitely seen one of them. One of them might not exist anymore. Might have even been town. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Do a bit of research next time.
Yeah, we'll do. Accrington Stanley, they're up next. I've seen them play as well.
Yeah, well, that was a little upset. The League Two side beat League One Bradford. Mm. Accrington beat them in the League Cup Two as well, mugging them off left, right and centre.
Take that, Bradford.
Yeah.
You daft bantams.
It was just bantam.
That's what Accrington are staying.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah.
What about Solihull Moors? Do you like them more?
They must be around the Midlands.
Yeah, well,
I've not seen them play.
They drew 2-2 away to Yeovil Town. The National League side, there you are. Came back from 2-0 down to earn a replay. Increíble. Non-league's Maidstone were very unlucky not to beat Rochdale as Dale got an injury time equaliser.
I think Maidstone are doing quite well. National League, I think they're doing quite well.
Yeah.
Maidstone.
Oh, they were very, very unlucky.
Hmm.
But how about this? Let's go to another part of England called Scotland. East Kilbride set a new world record of 27 straight wins.
Wow.
Peter, you're loving this.
That's brilliant.
That is very, very good. But I would suggest that their opposition aren't great.
Have a go at them.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they also...
They're in their own league, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they won't be for very long.
True.
Well, they even put... that sounds like a criticism.
Yeah, right.
Do you know how this game works?
Well, they play in the Scottish Lowland League. The record previously belonged...
They'll be in the Island League next.
Yeah. That works. And then after that, it's the very Highland League.
And then it's the Central London League.
Then it's Iceland.
Right. Well, the record previously belonged to the great Ajax side of the early 70s.
That That's lovely stuff.
That included Johan Cruyff.
That's lovely stuff.
Is it applicable? I'm not having that.
Well, allow
that
me
was
to...
Ajax.
Marcus, don't let him comment on it.
All right,
if he's not going to pick it up, don't let him
it's my cough.
Yeah.
I'm not having that.
What do you... They won 27 times straight in a row. What's wrong with that? What? Well, I'll tell you what, who did recognise it. Ajax. Edwin van der Sar, marketing director for the club, as you well know,
right,
sent the team a video message on a laptop, was in an Ajax-branded van that drove onto the pitch at full-time with 27 crates of beer.
There you
That's all fair, dude. That is brilliant.
It's all gone Donaldson now.
I'm back on.
27 crates of beer.
That is such a lovely touch.
Yeah, I'm back on again.
And a great piece of PR for Ajax.
However, Peter...
They'll be so drunk for the next match they'll lose. Yeah.
They
should have done it on the 26th.
Yeah.
Peter, you'll be pleased to know that it won't be recognised by the Guinness World Records as East Kilbride are not a top level side.
Oh.
Yeah. High five, come on. They're high fiving me, guys. They are.
High fiving the idea of Guinness. What a Pete Donaldson move.
Pete's West Kilbride till he dies. He's thrown up gang signs right now.
Yeah. That's a great story, though, isn't it? Yeah. I love the fact that Ajax did that, though.
I'd love the idea of Pete being West Kilbride and being sort of like Tupac and then just throwing up shit to East Kilbride.
Yeah.
Bad boy records.
Who'll kill me?
Yeah,
is the question.
Take
your pick. Who'll kill Bride and me?
Do you ever market on who will eventually murder Pete?
No, I should have.
It'll be Marcus.
It'll be himself. If East Kilbride lost that game, would the Ajax-branded van just have gone, oh,
yeah.
off we
just
go.
Slow it around, yeah.
Just driven around the pitch in a circle.
Here's what you could have won, like Jim Bowen.
Or would they have gone, all right, fair enough, and then taken away and like chucked one of the crates of beer away.
Smashed all the bottles on the floor.
you've equaled the record. Also in record-breaking runs or whatnot. Oh, this isn't a record-breaking run, I should say. In Australia, we're back there again. Central Coast Mariners ended their 281-day losing run with a win over Adelaide. My goodness.
281 days.
What do you think of that, Pete?
Pompey-esque.
That is really...
Long time in the wilderness.
We forgot to mention in the Premier League that Leicester's loss to West Brom ended their unbeaten home run stretching back to September 2015.
This may be in the highlights of the week, so I apologise in advance if it is, but somebody tweeted us today to point out that Jack Rodwell didn't start.
Oh, yeah, he didn't. Sunderland's win. That's right. Absolutely. So it still continues.
Absolutely.
He needs to move to East Kilbride, which he needs to do.
That's the last thing they need.
Yeah.
Well, should we go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore?
I've got a few highlights. Jimmy, would you please know that wasn't one of them?
Oh, good.
No toes trod on there. Mm. But what have we got here? Samuel Campbell. Hello to you, Samuel. He says, Linfield.
That's more like it.
Sam Campbell.
I had few too many McDonald's lately.
Linfield, who were reduced to 9 men after 10 minutes, one of which was the goalkeeper, ex-Man United player Roy Carroll, no less.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Meant an outfield player had to go in goal. Mm. Linfield then went 2-0 down after 34 minutes, but came back in the second half to draw 2-2, and it was away as well.
Bloody hell.
To Glenavon. Incidentally, the outfield player in goal was Mark Hoey, who also saved the penalty last season when he had to go in goal against the same team.
Wow. Oh, man.
Nice. That is textbook highlight
stuff.
Great.
That's superb.
Textbook ramble highlights. Ben Downey says, Tim Sherwood on the Champions League coverage making the point that the French league doesn't have the same quality as other top leagues. Straight after Lyon got a point at Juventus, PSG qualified, and Monaco went top of their group. Hashtag never read a book. Anthony Collins says, listening to Danny Gabardon on the West Ham podcast tell a story about the time him and some teammates went out on a night out. They turned up at a nightclub to be stopped on the door by a bouncer and asked, are you sure you want to go in there? When they replied yes, why, the bouncer then told them, oh, it's just that your manager is in there. The manager, Alan Pardew.
Nice.
I don't know if it's true. Hope it is.
That's class.
It's not even like, do you want to go in there because you want to get in trouble? Do you want to see what's happening in there?
Quite.
Yeah.
It could be anything. The last days of Rome.
Yeah. He'll get you involved what he's doing and you don't want to do that.
Exactly. Phil Mansfield. I saw this. Pittsburgh Steelers, the NFL side, the kicker, Chris Boswell, attempted a Rabona during a kickoff.
Nice.
He completely failed, costing his team the opportunity to potentially win the game. And the announcer had no clue what he was trying to do. I saw it. He tried tried to do a Rabona.
Really?
A little grubber kick, an onside kick they call it, to try and get the possession back, and completely fluffed it. They completely missed the ball. And I'll finish with this one from Jamie Miller. He said, this is Brighton related, talking about Stephen Sidwell earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Saying he scored just from just over the halfway line with his wrong foot, as we mentioned, but he also grabbed an Anthony Knockhart shirt from the bench, holding it aloft and dedicating the goal to Anthony and his dad. He wasn't playing, his dad had died quite suddenly a couple of days before, which is very, very sad. And the togetherness in the Albion side at the moment is unreal, and it's genuinely a joy to watch. And he's hashtag Prembound. If you're a Brighton fan, you should know better than that.
Yeah. But, we'd all love to see it.
Enjoyed
that,
the highlight. Thanks for that, Jamie.
Very much so. I've got a highlight and a low light. I'll start with a low light. Sven's been sacked.
Oh, yeah, he's replaced by AVB.
Yeah.
Replaced by AVB.
It's a bad time over
there.
You
know, when AVB had a career.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, really. What's that about?
But Tim Sherwood ruined it.
AVB was doing quite well in Russia. I don't know why he's moved to China. I haven't looked into it, but he was doing well.
Money, 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 money. Maybe he just got he got on the Trans-Siberian Railway and just ended up that sort of direction.
That's true.
Because that's the sort of thing you would do.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Might just want to have a little peek behind the curtain for the listeners.
Is this about the Wales train?
Curtains are barely there anymore. We just say this in every show.
Is this about the Wales train? Well, what else have you done?
The Wales train.
The Wales train being that Pete got on the train last at London Paddington for the train to Cardiff for the live show last night, walked straight past us, hi everyone, I'm going to go for a lie down, went to the other carriage, fell asleep, didn't get off the train at Cardiff. We had to go back on the train to get him off and tell the guard to stop the train going somewhere else.
Yeah. You held that train up by 2 minutes.
I nearly ended up in Carmarthen. Lovely part of the world.
If you're on that train, you were delayed going through either Carmarthen or Newport. Or whatever it was, that's Pete's fault.
Yeah.
And he will be issuing full refunds.
But not an apology, because he won't care.
No. And then I ran on the tracks and kicked the signals.
I could see how you could understand how AVP would accidentally end up in China and getting on a train.
Where are you living at the moment, Andre? The
Trans-Siberian
Railway. I did like this. Aubameyang was dropped for Borussia Dortmund's Champions League match for disciplinary reasons.
Oh.
Which I think they won 1-0.
They won the disciplinary 1-0.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, he didn't play.
You're banned. 1-0. Yeah.
Well, he went to Milan, I think, for a party, and it was an unsanctioned trip.
Yeah,
naughty.
Really. Lots of players have done that in the past. I remember, as I said before, Jan Mavilla once did that. End of that, he said he was popping out from
for some milk.
He said it was either the under-21s or the full French national side. He said, "Oh yeah, I'm just popping out. I won't be long." Was photographed in a nightclub 120 miles away.
Yeah,
and thing is, in a fast car, what's that, an hour?
One of the Ferdinands, Rio or Anton, I forget which, said they were going to visit their grandparent in the Isle of Wight and ended up in New York City at a party.
Yeah.
They're all at it.
Yeah.
Maybe they got the wrong plane.
Maybe they fell asleep.
Yeah.
True, but Aubameyang was brought back into the Dortmund side on the weekend, scored 4.
Nice.
There we go. What are you worried about? So let me go to parties.
Yeah, exactly. If you let me go to parties, you see...
If you had a discipline, I'd have scored 5.
4-1.
Yeah.
There we are. Any more for any more?
I've got nothing.
Let's get out of here.
Let's go. We've got the London show this Saturday night.
Just announced Doc Brown. So the great stand-up and actor and writer and all the other stuff. The disgustingly talented Doc Brown rapper as well, of course. He's coming along and he will be performing as well at our live show at Hackney on the 12th of November. Tickets still available for the Hackney Empire. Go to thefootballramble.com or the Hackney Empire's website to buy and we'll see you there. It's going to be a party. Last show of the tour. It's going to be fantastic. Great. It's a Saturday night.
That takes the pressure off us, doesn't it?
Don't miss it.
Having Doc Brown involved.
Yeah, it really does. Thanks to all who came to the Bristol and Cardiff shows. We had a right old lull.
Lovely time.
Yeah. Right. It was good.
It was good.
Yeah, I agree.
You've made it sound like it wasn't good now.
No, I said it was a blooming excellent time.
I agree.
I'm knackered.
Yeah.
I don't mind admitting.
Well, let's go. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See you later. Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces
three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.